Bryan. It's That's Life with Mark Snyder. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Mark.
I was grown up. To try. To fill the hope to. Pa-poop-pa-poop-pa-poop-pa, no umbrella. That my lover.
La, 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 la.
Was unjust. But for you.
Oh, oh,
things are going well for Dave Somerville?
It's only 7 o'clock here.
I know that, so wake up. Wake up, little Davey, wake up.
Okay. All right.
You actually toured at one point with the Everly Brothers, right?
Yes, I did 60 days on the bus with them.
Yeah.
1957.
I understand that, I don't know if you're still doing it, but you were at least, touring in a 1957 Greyhound bus recently, weren't you?
No, not recently.
No?
But what I do is I do, in essence, figuratively speaking, I stroll people down the aisle of that bus and tell the road stories and sing the songs of that particular tour.
Yeah.
And that's, I just, matter of fact, have my album available here for the last 2 weeks only.
Someone should have sent that to us. We could have used a clip on it, but...
I'm sorry?
I said someone should have sent that to us, but no one sent us a CD or a bio, so I'm just going blind here.
Well, is it too late for me to do that?
Well, I'd love to get one when we're done here, but let's talk a little bit about the
okay.
Diamonds and Dave Somerville and
sure.
And rock and roll.
Is this for a paper?
This is we're on the air right now.
We're on the air right
yes.
This very moment?
Yes, we are.
That's exciting.
It is exciting, and it'll also be on the internet very shortly at pmpnetwork.com and
right.
On a number of radio stations.
Okay, great.
I guess I want to talk a little bit about the early days of rock and roll, since you were one of the pioneers of that time, with your baritone voice singing on those great Diamond songs that we all grew up with and loved. But there was a lot of people at that point that were out there touring, and many of you toured together, people like Buddy Holly and the Everly Brothers, the Drifters, Chuck Berry, Eddie Cochran, Buddy Knox, Clive McFadder, Frankie Lyman. What an exciting time to be in music, huh?
It was fantastic. We didn't probably appreciate it as much as we do now.
Yeah.
We didn't realize how many of those people were going to be as important as they seem to be these days.
And, of course, many of them did not live too long.
No, about half of the people on that bus are gone, unfortunately.
It's amazing when you think about that. You always wonder about the potential of people like Eddie Cochran and Buddy Holly if they had lived to a decent age.
Yes, yeah.
You know? How old were you when the Diamonds started?
In 1953, I was 20.
So where did you grow up? What part of the country are you from?
Well, I grew up in the village of Rockwood, Ontario, which is a little farming community of 250 people about 50 miles west of Toronto.
Wow.
And then when I was 15, I moved to Toronto with my parents and went to school there. And then I after high school, went to night school and got a degree in broadcasting. And got a job at the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. That's where I met the rest of the guys with whom I formed the Diamonds.
Wow. Now, how quickly was it before success came?
Well, it wasn't fast at all. Matter of fact, we rehearsed for between a year and 18 months, pretty seriously before we did many performances. I guess the spring of 1955, we drove down to New York City and did the Arthur Godfrey show. And tied with the girl piano player for first place. And that really got us launched. And the thing that really made the big difference, of course, was meeting Bill Randall, the disc jockey in Cleveland, who discovered the Crew Cuts.
Uh-huh.
A couple of years before the Diamonds. And he actually is credited with discovering Elvis Presley. He certainly discovered Montavani and Dizzy Gillespie.
Hmm.
and is still a DJ there.
Wow. So so he was the one who enabled you guys to get a recording contract?
Yes, he sent us, he played Wide of Pools Fall in Love for us, in the Frankie Lyman version of the song,
and
said that if we could make a good recording of that, he could probably help make it a hit, which is exactly what happened. That was the first 16 hits we had on Mercury.
Right. Many of the folks listening, I'm sure, remember songs like Little Diamond and The Stroll and Silhouettes and Whitey Fools Law.
Yes.
You guys really tore up the charts.
Yeah.
There's a story behind The Stroll. Tell me about that. I understand that Dick Clark actually was instrumental in that song.
He was. I guess in about December of 1957, we had a conversation with him where he told us that the kids were doing a line dance called The Stroll. But they were doing it to Chuck Willis's recording of C.C. Rider, but there was no song called The Stroll. And taking a hint from Uncle Dick is no piece of genius, so we went to Clyde Otis and asked him to write us a song with that title, and which he did. And Brooke Benton, a young man still waiting for his first hit in the form of It's Just a Matter of Time, coached us in how to sing that song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I loved his version of Rainy Night in Georgia.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Ah, what a voice that guy has.
It was his last hit, I think.
Yeah, it was. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So that was really big. Now, you mentioned earlier, you mentioned the name Elvis, and I understand from my sources that Elvis was a big Diamonds fan.
Yes, he was. He was. I've heard that from a few people who hung out at his house. And one of the things that I treasure is a tape of Elvis learning how to sing Little Darling from the Diamonds recording. And you can hear it was recorded at somebody's house up in Washington State, I think.
Wow.
And you can hear, you know, kids playing and in the background and some child crying. And so it's interesting to hear Elvis, you know, talking up front with whoever was making the tape. And singing along with, and talking along with our recording.
Did you ever get to meet Elvis?
No, I didn't.
Hmm.
I did.
Wow.
Unfortunately.
I understand also that a few other folks have also been huge Diamond fans, among them people like Carole King and Bob Dylan.
Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, I heard Carole King say on the air in an interview when I was in New York once that the Diamonds were one of her biggest influences, excuse me, and in Bob Dylan's autobiography, excuse me, in his autobiography, he mentions it, the first act that he mentions as a influence is the Diamonds.
That must be quite a trip for you.
Yeah, it is. Kind of an amazing thing.
One of the things that really disturbs me, and we've done many shows on this here, is the proliferation of fake groups out there. I mean, there's at least 10 Drifters, and there's Platters all over the place. Herb Reed has been on the show. We've talked about this. We've talked about it with Carl Gardner and the Coasters and some of these guys. Are there people out there also making believe they're the Diamonds as well?
Well, there have been through the years, of course, many groups that call themselves the Diamonds. At one time, there were three or four of them at the same time.
Mm.
At the moment, there's only one, and that's Gary Owens' group, and they very freely admit on stage that they're not the original Diamonds, but they work nevertheless quite a bit.
Yeah, and that's work that you could have, or someone. Are there any other members of the original Diamonds along with you still alive?
Yes, all four of us are, as a matter of fact.
And you all perform?
And very, very rarely. We're allowed to do a couple of shows a year. And as a matter of fact, in May 12th and 13th, we're going to be filming the second of this of these doo-wop specials, you know, the one that PBS has been showing as a money raiser at
sure.
the last Christmas, New Year's season.
Right.
They're going to do a second one, and the Diamonds will be part of that.
Oh, that's great. So do you still have the same kind of energy? Does it still mean the same to you now as it did 30, 40 years ago?
the same kind of energy?
Yeah, I mean, you get excited when you're doing songs that are new and fresh, and you guys have been doing the same songs for 30-something years. Does it get boring now? Is it
well,
still the same excitement?
We don't get together and sing, so in effect, it's a bit of a discovery to get back together when you haven't seen guys in 5 or 7 or 9 years.
So you sing a lot of new songs as well?
No, we usually just go right back to singing our old repertoire as opposed to learning new songs.
Yeah.
It's quite amazing how fast it comes back to you.
Well, I mean, you've got a whole huge book of hits. So I mean, you can fill up a show anytime with just hits.
True.
But it'd be nice to send maybe a little contemporary stuff too.
Yes, it would, except, as I say, we get together so very rarely.
Yeah. Now, how about you yourself, David? Do you go out to touring on your own with other people, or?
I tour sometimes with a group called Triple Gold, and that's the original members of the original lead singers of the association, the Four Preps and the Diamonds. Matter of fact, we're starring a couple of days later this year in Las Vegas at the Flamingo Hilton.
Isn't Glenn Larson part of that?
I'm sorry?
Is Glenn Larson part of that group?
No, he's not.
Oh.
Glenn is a very close friend of mine, but he hasn't been a professional singer in many years.
Hmm.
He was once part of the Four Preps, but he's executive produced about 25 hit series.
Yeah, he's on TV now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about Drew Daniels from the New Christy Minstrels? Does he tour with you guys on bass?
Well, he's... He's been my bass player as a single when I go out and work as a single performer.
Yeah.
And how do you know about Drew Daniels?
Oh, I know everything. How about Mike Lewis?
Mike Lewis
from Quicksilver Messenger Service.
He's my musical director. Matter of fact, we just went to the Caribbean together.
Really?
Yeah, we were just down for for 9 days. We did a couple of shows for Richard Nader at the end of that.
Where'd you go? What part of the Caribbean?
We went to St. Thomas, San Juan, Nassau in the Bahamas, and the Half Moon Key.
Did you hit the Cayman Islands at all?
No, we didn't.
That's my favorite place there.
Is that right?
Oh, have you been there?
No.
Incredible place. Incredible. And they love music there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's a little bit of a calypso beat, but... they probably get into any kind of music that you can sing with that kind of voice that you have. When did you realize that you had this incredible tool at your side, your voice?
Well, I've been a singer since I was about five. And there are lots of singers in my family. I had a cousin who was in the Metropolitan Opera. And my grade school music teacher was my great aunt. And my high school music teacher was my uncle. And so it's just been a lot of music around me always, and I just, I guess I've taken it for granted that I sing and sing easily. I just have always liked to make harmony since I was a little boy.
Well, that baritone voice of yours could also be used on the radio as well. I'm surprised you haven't got a radio gig either.
Well, we've had some opportunities to do that kind of work, and I haven't ever signed on as an announcer, but I've done lots of voiceovers.
Yeah. Why not? Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a dumb question, but it's a question that people would say, Mark, ask them. So I'll ask you, do you have any songs that the Diamonds did that is your personal favorite?
Well, there are certain ones that I like better than others. I like High Sign a lot. Gotten a couple of songs that we did that really didn't get any shrift on the air. For instance, there's a song called A Mother's Love that I like a lot.
Hmm.
And I like Walking Along.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly owe a great debt of gratitude to the Little Darling and to the writer of that song, Maurice Williams.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, folks out there, if you're looking for the Diamonds, the Best of the Diamonds is actually released on Rhino.
I'm sorry, say it again?
There's a great version of the Best of the Diamonds on Rhino. available.
Yes, I think I've seen that, yes.
It's an excellent version.
Yeah.
And actually has a couple of the songs you just named on it that weren't major huge hit, but they're in there. Walking Along and High Sign and stuff.
Yeah.
They were hits, but they weren't big hits.
Yes.
But two of your favorites, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
We're talking with Diamond Dave Somerville from the Diamonds here on PMP Network right now. And I guess I want to talk to you a little bit about modern music. It's always interesting to talk to folks who were huge in the 50s about what's going on nowadays in music. Do you listen to any particular bands, groups, singers, anybody
well,
that you like?
I tend to listen to country music on the radio.
Mm.
But, I'm not a big fan of rap, you know.
I'm not either.
Bennett says I keep waiting for the second note.
What are some of the country artists that you enjoy?
Well, I like Reba a lot, and I still like Dolly, and I like the Georges. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, who else?
How about Shania?
Shania Twain, of course, is absolutely. Not only great to listen to, but fantastic to look at.
Exactly, yeah.
I like Faith Hill, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah, another one to look nice to look at, and sound pretty good, too.
Yeah.
You know what my favorite album was last year, actually, and I'm not sure if you heard it, was Shot Full of Love by Billy Ray Cyrus.
Oh, yeah.
Great CD.
Really, I haven't heard that.
Had songs like Busy Man, and it wasn't a huge hit, but it was a great CD.
Mm-hmm.
Really good songs.
That's very good album.
A lot of people pigeonhole him as achy breaky heart guy, but he was much more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I noticed on the internet that there were a number of sites that had your name on them,
mm-hmm.
but the one that said it was your homepage, it didn't come up. Do you have a new address for a homepage for you?
Yes, DiamondDaveSomerville.com is in the process of being constructed, actually.
I see. So folks out there that want to get your schedule, we just mentioned the May dates, but after that, if they want to get scheduled, they can get it at DiamondDaveSomerville.com?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes, that's with one M, S-O-M-E-R.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that the May sites have you with two M's.
Yes, I know.
But I looked in your CD and found it was one M. But they do misspell it, including some of your friends who have your name on the site. I guess it's good to have a name on there. Even if it's spelled wrong, at least it's there, right?
Yeah, that's right. The old show business adage is say whatever you like, but spell my name right.
Exactly. Any publicity is good publicity. That's why I look at it.
Right.
But David Dyer, Somerville, thank you so much for coming on PMPnetwork.com. And we'll talk to you soon.